I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Did you guys like legal battles? Have I used this intro before? Because for the past 2 years, we've done nothing but cover legal battles.
I don't know what you want from me, man. They just won't stop.
I want solutions. I want answers. I want conclusions. I want my phone not to land on my foot when I drop it like that.
Listen, the only solution is hard reset
of
the human race.
Okay. All right.
Kill everyone. Let the machines rule.
How long until that's a possibility? Like, when do we get first AI president run? How many years? Like, and I don't mean like AI president run, like, haha, we made it, we got one on the ballot. I'm talking like gets nominated or is in like the final two of a primary.
I'm going to say 15 years simply because in this very podcast,
fucking nightmarish.
Good old NVIDIA CEO Jensen Huang.
Ah, yes. Glasses man.
Yeah, and leather jacket guy.
Always.
Claims that we are 10 years away from a fully AI-generated video game.
And you're conflating
in real time.
Logistical step 5 years later is president of the United States.
Oh, hell yeah.
Not supreme overlord of the world. How long until supreme overlord of the world? How many years after president of the United States?
I don't know. I genuinely think we will make it to supreme overlord of the world prior to making it to a president on the ballot that's AI. I think it's just going to be like straight up Terminator Skynet style where there's going to be one mistake made.
Do you and I witness it?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't necessarily think it's going to be end of the world.
I just need you to understand what we do on this podcast and what we're now saying. I just need you to remember our power.
I don't think
fucking Wonder Twins with rings right now. If you and I fist bump, we're locking it in.
I don't think it'll be like the end of humans or whatever, but I do genuinely think it'll be. There'll be that first slip up from like some government or something, and it'll be like Pandora's box. And then it's like we'll be playing whack-a-mole for like a few years. Then all of a sudden,
as we slowly off one robot at a time.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden things will start clicking together and you're like, oh no.
A warehouse door. You like a movie scene, a warehouse door slides open, and there's just iRobot's level.
Yeah, like the climax of iRobot, where all of a sudden there's robots marching out, and it'd be like, how the fuck did we get this far?
Like, and nobody thought to check the warehouses?
Yeah. Anyways, this is the Gamers 2 podcast, where we prophesize the doom and gloom of the world. And, you know, we've predicted
happiness, to be clear.
Yeah, sometimes. Not very often.
True.
Gamers 2.
Hey.
Your weekly roundup of news and commentary related to the video game industry and anything else that might pique our interest.
Like PAX East happening right now.
Oh shit, is it?
Yeah.
Damn. Didn't even realize what
You could be at Ultra or you could be at PAX East. Which one would you go to?
That's a hard choice. I mean, I've been to I think I would do Ultra and then
So let's say you've been to each one.
Okay.
Because I know the same, I'm the same feeling. We haven't gone to Ultra. We've gone to PAX East. So why not take the new experience?
At this stage of my life,
Ultra would be a shit show.
It would be. This stage of my life, I would.
You and I would not last Ultra. We also need to have that.
That's where I'm going.
Full realization.
I could handle the pace of a PAX East. I would not last very long at an Ultra. Not that it would matter because everyone would probably be like, who are these old fucks?
I also do think that you and I would handle Ultra if we handled it like we do PAX.
Yeah.
Which is to say that we handled the PAX with responsible.
Yeah. Like we were
decision making.
We were methodical, I feel like.
Yes. Let's be clear. Anybody that's at PAX right now, I hope you're having a great time. I hope it's more full than it was the last 2 years. That being said, there is a science and a methodical way to do conventions.
Yes.
I have perfected it. I bestowed it to Matt when he went. There you go. That's the end of that discussion. There is a way to do things.
I do think I would.
There are A and B options along the way.
I think I would almost struggle more now just because there's more things I would find interesting.
But I also think at the same time, there's less things there.
Yes. So that maybe it would
You'd probably be okay.
Probably counterbalance. Because before I would spectate, but I wasn't really interested in
Right.
Like, and, you know, looking more intently. But now I think I would look at things a lot more intently.
Right. And it still comes down to, like, with a convention like PAX, you need to look at the itinerary. You need to look at the schedule of panels and other shows that you might want to see and have a full understanding that you need to block out 30 minutes before that happens. If you need to be in line or anything, do go to that thing.
Yeah. You have to be respectful of the process.
Right. And try not to go only for one day because that will also, you're immediately sinking yourself into.
Mm-hmm.
Committing to full show floor or everything in the show floor plus the one show you wanted to see, because otherwise you're missing things everywhere. But by doing the 4 days that we've done,
yeah,
by the time Sunday comes around, you're almost like, we could leave early because I've seen everything. This is my double back to make sure I didn't miss anything or anything.
It's a cleanup day.
Yeah, exactly.
You want a Ron Swanson it. All right, you don't want a half ass two things. You want a whole ass one thing.
Exactly. And we had planned like. Food, I feel like I have nailed food in that convention center,
mm-hmm.
specifically around don't eat much,
mm-hmm.
have waters and like liquids enough to, you know, survive yourself.
Yeah. You essentially
but light do not snacking. Pay out the ass.
Light snacking till dinner and then you go elsewhere for dinner.
Right. Go elsewhere for dinner. Don't go to the food court that's there. One, it's slammed. Two, it's expensive.
Yes.
Get yourself like a sandwich or salad from one of the side things. Find a place to sit. Listen to somebody yell, pick it up, nerd. Have moments.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy yourself.
Do they let bags in still?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think if I were to do it again, I would totally book bag it.
You could.
Because I would put like snacks in there.
Yeah. There's and people. Then, yeah. Do that. Yep.
And then like, you know, obviously if you get shit, you can just toss in the bag and then you're not. You still have all your limbs available.
Yeah, there's always logistical steps to do things with. But yeah, I also think that if we approach that same thing to Ultra, like purposely putting ourselves near stage but not in stage.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like we're not going to be in the middle of the crowd getting dehydration from just sweating profusely.
Yeah.
But we're also going to be well within our ways of just kind of like jamming out and enjoying it and people watching.
Yeah.
People watching to great live music.
People watching at Ultra would be kind of...
It'd be nuts.
Wild.
Especially if, depending on which... I guess there's only one Ultra in Miami. Are they still always in Miami? I don't know. But if you were in that Ultra and had views or quickness to the multiple stages, then you could get some some views. Anyway, how about new releases if you didn't make it to either of those events?
Yeah, you could play these games.
Like Alone in the Dark for PC, PlayStation, and Xbox. Dragon's Dogma 2, Rise of the Microtransactions for PC, PlayStation, and Xbox. Number 3, Rise of the Ronin for PlayStation. Number 4, Princess Peach Showtime for the Nintendo Switch. And number 5, MLB Show for its respective platforms, which I think is Xbox, Switch, PlayStation.
Yeah, I heard Switch is having some issues, as it does.
Yeah, which not when's it not going to? Yeah. All right, I'm gonna go right into it. I'm gonna kick off this Apple bullshit.
Apple bullshitting.
Number one, let's get this Apple bullshit out of the way. The U.S. Department of Justice has filed a civil antitrust lawsuit against Apple, having accused the tech firm of illegally monopolizing the smartphone market and violating antitrust laws. Filed in the U.S. District of New Jersey on Thursday, the suit alleged that Apple had violated these laws by selectively imposing restrictions on developers in numerous ways, with the firm's stance on cloud gaming being named as a key factor. It claimed that updates for cloud games and services have to be submitted to Apple as standalone apps for the firm to approve, which results in an increased cost for developers to release apps on the iPhone and reduces the number of games that can be made available to users. The lawsuit concluded that the overall rules and restrictions imposed by Apple result in developers having to create a separate iOS version of their services rather than a single cross-platform cloud-based solution. As reported by Sky News, Apple said in response that the lawsuit, quote, threatens the principles that set Apple products apart in fiercely competitive markets, end quote. As the Apple defendant, go ahead. dance, monkey, dance.
I haven't delved into it too much, but I kind of think it all comes down to how they, as one would expect with any judicial process, it all comes down to the arguments they choose. Because, I think, what is it? Apple has the largest market share in the U.S., I believe, but when you take the world as a whole, it changes. So, like, I guess it depends on how they decide to attack it. But I think either way, there's a case to be made. It's going to be one of those classic who's got the better lawyers.
I think so. I think we're into it, and it's separate issue or potentially confusing issues on Apple's behalf. I understand their normal stance,
mm-hmm.
which is what they're using here.
Yeah.
Their normal stance is we have a closed market, we approve everything, and if we don't get to approve it,
yeah,
then mm-hmm. how can we tell our sweet little Apple people that everything's going to be okay?
Mm-hmm.
Two problems. Mainly, one problem. It's the discussion of what does cloud gaming mean?
Yeah.
Do you actually mean cloud gaming, in which case Apple... Nothing's getting installed on your machine. Why do you give a shit? And if you mean game subscriptions, where things have to get downloaded to your machine, now you're into your actual argument.
Yeah, I think this is going to be one of those really, really messy cases, though. So, like this, we talked about, we focused on cloud gaming because, you know, gaming podcast. But
how dare you?
The DOJ is also claiming that Apple is at fault for the failure of Amazon's Fire Phone, Microsoft's Windows Phone. Like, it seems like they're coming at Apple with literally everything. Like,
interesting.
Like, you guys have monopolized every aspect of mobile, the mobile economy for decades. Like,
I don't think they can win that argument.
Yeah, that's kind of the problem.
That's a hard one to win.
Everyone's like that. That's the sentiment I got. It's like you're literally throwing shit at the wall here. Like,
yeah,
if you don't have good argument, like there are.
What's the old?
It's Apple.
The Chicago mobster joke where it's like, couldn't get him for all the murders.
Get him for taxes. Yeah,
it's like, you guys are just kind of reaching at this point. Because I get them wanting to be like, you're a plague on the market.
Yeah,
but not illegally. Like, you didn't kill Amazon. Amazon came out with a bad product and then went, it's not worth it because Apple has too much mind share.
Yeah.
And there was just no way, like, Amazon and Microsoft both would have had to probably use Android. Microsoft, I think there's a chance that Microsoft now could potentially do it again and,
oh, yeah.
and have a potential success. Amazon could not.
No.
Amazon would have to just partner with like Huawei or somebody from China and or Japan or wherever and just make a partner phone but not do their own thing. You're not going to make a Fire phone. That's not happening.
Yeah.
Alexa phone. Banana phone. I don't know.
Fucking Luna phone. I don't know. Whatever we're on here. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like they need to refine.
Plus phone.
They need to refine their arguments. And obviously, it's the early proceedings. So.
If they were only going after them for their cloud gaming stance, I think it's an easy win. If you're going for you have a monopoly on smartphones, there's a couple problems with that argument.
I think they should go for the same angle the EU went. I mean, that's the easy win.
That is the easy win. The funny thing with the monopoly on the market is, well, all right, operating systems, right?
Yeah.
At base level, we just say Android and Apple.
Mm-hmm.
Or sorry, operating system, iOS. Fuck you. So those two, right? But makers, Android is, you could, you know, hold up as many hands as you can find around you right now. That's how many, that many fingers is how many makers of Android phones there are.
Yeah.
On the other side, there's only one iOS. But this goes back to, was it a Barack Obama interview with, when he was on Fallon maybe? And he talks about changes that he was going through when he was, I think, in his first term. And he was talking about how he was the first president to have a smartphone, like not a BlackBerry or Palm Pilot smartphone,
like a genuine,
an actual iPhone,
like a modern smartphone,
literally an iPhone. Hey, DOJ, the call's coming from inside the house. You guys bought iPhones for the president, like what? Yeah, because then he talks about, like, he's like, yeah. And the, you know, he's like, the Secret Service handed it to me, and they're like, yeah, it's an iPhone. And by the way, you can't take pictures, you can't text anybody, you can't browse the internet, you can't. Yeah. He's like, so all the fun features I can't do anything with. And he's like, what's the point? Just give me a flip phone.
All right, I'm going to move on because the next one's related. Number two. Four major companies, including Xbox parent Microsoft, have weighed in on Epic's ongoing legal dispute with Apple, supporting the former's claim that the iOS firm is violating the court order. That doesn't make it. Yeah, okay, it does make sense. Violating the court order given at the end of the 2021 antitrust trial. Earlier this month, Epic argued that Apple's process for adding in-app links to direct in alternative payment systems, avoiding the 30% fee for using iOS system, are, quote, commercially unusable and, quote, entirely useless, end quote. Now, Microsoft, Meta, X, and Match have jointly filed an amicus brief with the Northern District of California. What is this, Match? I don't remember that. Whatever that is. Anyways, Microsoft Meta Match previously backed Epic during the trial, but this is the first time X, formerly Twitter, has joined the discussion. Apple has said that the new requirements around external payment links are, quote, necessary to protect user privacy and security, maintain the integrity of Apple's ecosystem, promote the flow of information, avoid user confusion, and enable efficient review of developer apps by app review, end quote.
And here we spoon feed you the bullshit.
Yeah.
Couple things. I'm going to go right through that last quote.
Mm-hmm.
Necessary to protect user privacy and security. We're the only ones that want to own their information, not you. That's what Apple is saying.
Yeah, that's pretty standard Apple procedure.
Yep. Maintaining the integrity of Apple's ecosystem. It doesn't change your ecosystem.
Yeah, your ecosystem
is the same.
Is the same.
Just payments happening over there.
Mm-hmm.
Relax.
But Apple, being Apple, they think their users are a part of their ecosystem. You can't corrupt their users.
Promote the flow of information. It is.
Mm-hmm.
Promoting it to over there. Avoid user confusion. And enable efficient review of developers' apps. You can still review the app. But guess what? You're not the fucking internet police. The FTC, the FCC, both of them, mainly the FCC, TC gets involved in certain things, but not 100% this, are going to be on them for the correct secure payments and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You're not the policing that. You're policing it inside your own ecosystem, but guess who's not in your ecosystem? The company that made the app. So relax, bro.
I just had a crazy crazy thought, but no, that wouldn't really work. They want to sell hardware. I don't know. Apple, man. Wild.
You want a $3,500 headset?
Cell phones. Just wild in general. Phones are just wild. Why are they so fucking unnecessary? Why are they so fucking big?
Not only why are they so, why do they have so much shit on them?
I don't know. Like, it's ridiculous.
I just need a web browser, text, and call. That's it. I really don't need more than those three things. That would satisfy 95% of what I use my phone for.
I would like all those things. Music. Music sure. player.
Yep, I'll take that. But I would do it in the browser if I really had to. Yeah. But yep, I agree.
And tangentially related, something for like podcasts and audiobooks, which you could do that all in one thing. I
sure.
don't mind.
Yeah.
I could deal with it. And I really do enjoy having, you know, navigation.
Yes, that does help.
But I think like...
But if we actually moved cars with fucking LCDs and shit in them to actually have the navigation in them, we wouldn't have this problem.
But,
why are you giving me the screen and saying it has Android Auto? Just fucking put it in the car.
That's it, though. I think I could live... That's basically what I use my phone for.
Yeah. I've come so close multiple times to being like, what if I just get a flip phone again? And do I really lose that much?
Yeah, I mean...
If I pay $60 for a phone and just break it whenever I get angry and buy a new one, is that really that bad?
My... As I think I mentioned on the last podcast, my battery on my phone is like shot. But I can't find a phone that's not fucking massive.
Yeah. You really need to find like a cellular iPod Touch.
Yeah.
Sorry, and even no, Nano.
The one phone that's like...
As I thought about it, I was like, the Touch has gotten to like 5 inches at the end of their life.
The only option is another iPhone mini, which obviously the battery on those is not ideal because I have firsthand experience in that.
Yep.
And then the other option is it's the older, like the previous gen version of the Asus Zenfone.
Which interesting. Okay.
Doesn't work on my network.
Oh, that's, yeah.
Yeah. So outside of that, it's like, oh, you need to have a fucking 6.1 inch screen, which that's just consumes your entire fucking pocket. Anyways.
I mean, listen, you think I'm walking around with deep pockets out here?
Yeah, man. You know?
I'm going to have to start wearing dresses with pockets sewn inside them.
I just got... It's like a logistical thing, too. I have small hands.
Oh, yeah. We went over this last time.
Small hands. It's like I struggle to reach the entire screen with my thumb with the little phone. So...
Yeah, I have to drop it. I can't.
Yeah,
I guess if I do this, the closest I can get is like almost the top.
And like I'm assuming they probably have some weird like Apple, and I'm assuming Android has something too, where you can like pull the screen down, like you tap something or whatever, and it like
it jumps the
screen down, and I can't get it to reliably work on my iPhone.
Oh, interesting.
So, anyways,
complaints of a man with small hands.
Yeah. Story of my life.
Oh, that's what it came up last time. You were looking at the Warhammer stuff that I painted.
Yes.
And you're like, I couldn't do that with my small hands. I'm like, listen, I have larger hands, and it didn't help either.
There's no happy medium.
I really just need those clamps.
Yeah.
Give them the clamp. Anyway, number three, PlayStation veteran Connie Booth. There's no way, right?
Connie Booth. What?
No way. She's related, right?
Oh, I'm going to look it up.
PlayStation veteran Connie Booth has joined EA as its new group general manager of action RPG. You can have a group general manager of the genre action RPG.
I don't know anymore how the hierarchy at these companies
I'm the king
works.
Of soup.
I feel like they're just fucking inserting things in now.
I'm the king of soup. We're just going to end soup. It there. Okay. New title. You will address me as the king of soup.
All right, king of soup.
As reported by IGN, Booth will report directly to EA's entertainment head, Laura Miley. Oh, I never remember how her name is pronounced.
I don't either. It's fine.
Miley. One of her new duties will include revitalizing the BioWare studio, which is currently developing Dragon Age Dreadwolf. It's weird that you're revitalizing it when there was a rumor, apparently, that you were releasing it this year. How shocking that this podcast did not think you were. News of Booth joining EA comes 5 months after she left Sony Interactive Entertainment. During her 34-year stint at PlayStation, Booth led production on games such as Siphon Filter, the Uncharted series, and Marvel's Spider-Man 2. Solid run.
She's had a good career.
That's a great track record. Back in 2020, she was inducted into the Academy of Interactive Arts and Sciences Hall of Fame for her contributions to the games industry. Deservedly so. So, listen. If there's anybody that can potentially save BioWare, it's somebody that hasn't worked there before. Seeing how every other time, it's somebody that previously worked there.
Is this like the EA's like whole like, you know, a broken clock is right twice a day situation where they might have gotten one right?
No, I think this is EA hoping and praying and just sending whatever they can. They're now to the point of throw money at BioWare, buy new hires from great histories and hope that they figure it out. Because clearly everything else they've been trying is missing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even think it's broken clock. I think it's literally just... Please work out. Please work out. Please work out.
I didn't put in. So I should have. I didn't. I don't know why I didn't list in here the other studios that she's in charge of.
No, you just listed action RPG.
There was, I think, 3 or 4 studios. Oh, didn't know that there was a actress named Connie Booth. That messed up my search here.
Maybe it's the same person.
Might be. Group General Manager Action RPG with a portfolio that will include EA Motive.
Okay.
Which is working on an Iron Man game, I guess. Cliffhanger, which is working on a Black Panther game, or has made a Black Panther game. I don't know what they're saying here. BioWare, and that's it.
Well, so the funny thing about...
Maybe there is other stuff.
The Iron Man and the Black Panther game.
Mm-hmm.
What's-Her-Name Studio is doing... not Civil War, but it's doing a Black Panther Captain America game.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that in a second. Is that really it?
Here's the funny thing, though. This is a spoiler alert for what I'm going to say later, too.
Yeah.
We're a little late on the whole Marvel Games thing.
Yeah, that ship has sailed.
Yeah, you're kind of just a little bit late.
Number 4. GOG. How do you like to say GOG or GOG?
I like GOG because I know it stands for Good Old Games.
Hmm.
Actually, no, it doesn't. They used to, I believe.
Yeah.
And now I believe it is Galaxy of Games.
Yeah.
That's me reaching way back.
I forgot. I also forgot until you said Good Old Games out loud, because that's what I was thinking was Good Old Games. And you said Good Old Games out loud, and I was like, didn't they change the name?
Yep.
Fuck. Wow, Good Old Game. That is really old, actually. Now I'm thinking about it.
Yeah.
Fuck, we're going to die soon.
That's when they first spawned out. it's all downhill. We're starting to remember acronyms. It's over.
GOG has partnered with Amazon Luna to bring its title library to the cloud gaming service. Users will be able to play games that they own on the digital store via the Luna service. Games will remain DRM-free. DRM-free? I feel like I gurgled that a little bit. And consumers who use GOG Galaxy 2.0 will have access to cloud savings on the cloud gaming subscription. Users who subscribe to Amazon Luna can use the service on PCs, smartphones, and smart TVs.
Pretty cool.
Yes.
I mean, I don't really give a shit about the Luna thing and whatever, but it's a cool option.
It is. I wonder how popular Luna is. I feel like it's
how popular GOG is. Yeah. It is popular technically. It is one of the three most successful storefronts. If you count like launcher storefronts, not just websites. It's Steam, Epic, and GOG are your three.
I kind of assumed, thinking about it now, I kind of am assuming that Epic Game Store hurt GOG more than it hurt Steam.
That's probably true. But GOG will still reign supreme once Witcher releases again.
Yeah.
Last time I had GOG was Cyberpunk.
GOG probably has a really like small but loyal following just because of the DRM. Yeah,
DRM free, and it probably has a shit ton of games. Yeah. Like all just old stuff that they've somehow ported in and just.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I really forget they exist. They should. Not that I play games, but I could. I should remember that they do exist for when I return at some point later on in life.
I'm going to bring this up now.
Yeah.
Because we're not going to talk about it later. Did you see there's a deal on Samsung TVs? This is completely fucking out of left field.
No, I did not. Tell me more.
This is completely out of left field, and by the time this podcast goes out, probably won't exist anymore.
I saw, speaking of TVs, the one deal I did see that kind of blew my mind.
This is so fucking left field. What? That somebody's going to be like, did I jump in the middle of this? Did they edit this poorly? And I'm like, no, I literally just had a spontaneous idea, and I have to talk about it.
I saw that TLC is selling a 98...
Who?
TLC. TCL. I saw that TCL is selling a 98-inch TV for $1,900.
That's pretty good.
That's wild.
That's a pretty good price.
Tell me about Samsung.
So Samsung, also, side tangent on the side tangent, what does TLC stand for?
The Creative Life.
Okay, not tough love and care, because that really
wait.
That really,
did you say TCL or TLC?
TLC, like the channel.
Oh, because
I just keep thinking tough love and care, and that really puts a whole fucking spin on that channel.
Oh my god, I know what it stands for. I don't know.
Scrubs. Jason Waterfalls. I don't know. Okay. Anyway, out of three other abbreviations, Samsung is running a deal right now.
Okay.
Where you buy one of these TVs.
Mm-hmm.
If we were doing a video, I would add it in
a
screen. But it's like their Neo QLEDs.
Okay.
They're QLEDs. They're OLEDs. You buy one of those.
Mm-hmm.
You get a matching, not matching, I guess, but you get another same size 4K TV.
That's not a QLED or an OLED.
Right. So you buy one 65-inch OLED.
Okay.
You get a 65-inch crystal.
Regular LCD.
4K.
Yeah.
It might be LED. But
yeah.
Nah, it's not OLED.
Yeah.
4K TV.
Huh.
Both Best Buy and Amazon were running this.
Huh.
Buy one, you get the other. So for the cost of like $4,000, you gain two 65-inch TVs. One of them is
top of the line.
OLED, whatever, yeah, Neo LED, you know, really good. And the other one,
solid TV.
Is really good.
Yeah. That's...
And I initially saw the deal and I went, you know, I've been debating if I could spring on an OLED. Wonder what Samsung's costs are. Because like an LG OLED,
yeah,
if you got a certain class or whatever, you might be looking at, I think, like $800.
Yeah, you can get it.
Depending on the size. Like you, and
I'd
like,
imagine that sounds about right.
And I was like, you know what? If I spent $800, I get two TVs out of it. I'm junking this piece of shit. And so moving stuff around, and I'll be okay with it.
Yeah.
And then I looked at the prices and I went, never mind.
Because it's their top of the line, like
because it's their top, and it's I think the lowest deal was $2,000 something, and I was like, I'm not trying to spend $2,000 on a TV. Yeah, I'm just not doing it.
That's a tough one.
It's a hard sell for me.
I totally agree. Like I wouldn't.
I'd rather put $2,000 down on a new car.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or multiple other projects I have to do than buy a TV, when I have fully functioning things.
Especially considering, like, you can get probably a very, like you just said, you could get a very good LG or Sony or whatever OLED for like
probably sub $1,000.
Yeah, so I easily sub $1,000.
Yeah, but it was still like
kind of a crazy deal.
How often do you see a buy one get one TV free deal?
That's a weird one. That I that is good enough to the point where I'm like, what's the catch?
You know, it was enough to make me open the link and look through to see if there I could find a price that I went yes.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting.
All right. Hey, you want to talk about games again?
Sure.
Cool. Number five, Tango Gameworks founder Shinji Mikami has reportedly started a new studio. As reported by IGN, the website for upcoming action-adventure game Shadows of the Damned Hella Remastered lists Mikami under its creator's tab, with his bio stating he established new studio Kamoi Inc. There are no further details about the studio, and Mikami has yet to issue a statement about the studio's founding. Mikami left Tango Gameworks in February of 2023, 13 years after he founded the studio. Tango Gameworks was formed after Mikami spent 2 decades at Capcom and a brief period at Platinum Games. At Capcom, Mikami directed the original Resident Evil and 2005's Resident Evil 4, both amazing games, and continued to be involved in the franchise up until the latter's release. At Tango Gameworks, Mikami directed its launch title, The Evil Within. The studio released its sequel, The Evil Within 2, in 2017, followed by Ghostwire Tokyo in 2022 and Hi-Fi Rush in 2023. Also, another person with a solid history.
Yeah. Good track record. I just like wonder what happens in those. He literally founded a studio, worked at it for 13 years, releasing bangers, and then just one day it was like, eh. I'm sick of this. I'm going to just go do it again somewhere else.
Fuck you guys. I'm going home. What? You need something else? Okay, I'm going over there. Never mind.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's, you know, it was like, I'm just going to kind of like, I don't know. I'm going to take a month off. He doesn't make it the month because somebody else comes up to him 2 weeks later with another idea. And he's like, never mind. Let's go.
Yeah. It's weird. I want that level of success in my life. Or do I? Sounds like a lot of work.
I like money.
Yeah, I like money, but then at the same time, like...
I don't know. You know, do you work if you enjoy what you're doing today in your life?
Those fucking people. Those people. Number six. Valve has announced Steam Families, a new way to share games, monitor children's activities, and streamline purchases on Steam. There's nothing better than watching kids.
You can't, like, we're gonna, you gotta not.
Available now in beta.
Of all the things.
It will replace both Steam Family Sharing and Steam Family View. Players can create a Steam Family group for up to 6 members, which can be managed from the Steam client, a mobile device, or web browser. Family members can play each other's shareable games, although they won't be able to play the same title simultaneously unless they own multiple copies. Each player is able to create their own saved games, earn their own Steam achievements, and access workshop files, among other features. Steam Families also introduces a new parental control, new parental controls that let adults in the group set limits on what and when children can play games. Parents can monitor what children are playing and choose to restrict access to various shopping and social features as well. There's also a new payment option where a child account can request an in-family adult to purchase their shopping cart, which can be done by an adult using their mobile device or email.
Also, if your kid gets banned for cheating in a game, you get banned for cheating in the game.
Is that true?
Yes.
Interesting.
And you have to wait a year in order to leave.
The child has to...
Like if you join like a family.
Okay.
You have to... You're basically locked in for a year.
Okay. Interesting.
So you can't just hop around to share family libraries.
Family, yeah. A year seems a little aggressive. But I understand the idea.
Yeah.
The banning thing is interesting. But I don't know how well...
I don't either. I'm just like,
that's a lot.
It's my account, man. I'm not sharing shit.
Yeah, like that's a lot because I know how dumb kids are.
Yep. I'm not getting banned. You get that one idiot that's like, oh, I play Counter-Strike 2 with wall hacks on. I can see everybody. And you're like, and you did what now?
Yeah.
I'll end you, child.
I was on board until that part.
Yeah. Everything else. I like the everything idea. Else, every, I like the idea. Yeah. It's just, you know how stupid games can be.
I especially like the purchasing idea. Like, yes. When you make it easy. I was talking to a coworker about that.
I mean, not to get too far into it, but not even just a coworker. How many times do we hear that conversation with parents at Target?
Oh, yeah. 100%.
All the time.
He was telling me a story about how when his kids were young, they're like, I think, teenagers now.
Still young.
But when they were like young, like 10 years ago, when like this was becoming a thing, like online transactions and loot boxes were just in their infancy.
Fortnite.
His daughter on Roblox,
yep.
I believe it was, just didn't realize it. PayPal account or something was still attached, and she just was like banging out cosmetics.
Yeah.
And it was like $10. And he's like, he called his wife and was like, what is she doing? And
I've known other people to do the similar things where it's like accidentally save. Like, I know they didn't mean to, but like they saved a card to the account or something and just didn't think about it. And yep, kid went on a spending spree or whatever. And I mean, It, you know, it happens to all of us. I'm pretty sure I was guilty of it as a kid.
Yeah, I did the same thing with...
I think I did it with WoW subscriptions.
I did it with AOL for dial-up when you had to pay for that.
Matt's older than I am. I know he doesn't want to hear it, but he's fucking old.
And everyone's like, what the fuck is dial-up?
Yeah. Hey, do your best dial-up impression.
I don't know if I could do that.
Some ear-shrieking piercing. Oh, God. Anyway. Let's talk about the real dial-up in this country. The French, number 7, Ubisoft, has unveiled Neo NPCs at the Game Developers Conference in San Francisco. The company calls the project its first player-facing generative AI prototype that could transform the way players interact with non-playable characters in video games and open new frontiers for gameplay that natively integrates generative AI features. That was written by an AI.
It probably was.
According to an Ubisoft News post, these NPCs are created not by a machine, but by a human writer who shapes their character, backstory, and conversation style, and then continues to tweak once the learning language model starts improvising dialogue. So,
I don't know.
They're still pretty much created.
I don't know if this is a good path for Ubisoft or a really bad path for Ubisoft. Because on one hand, maybe they'll make their boring ass fucking worlds a little bit more interesting if the NPCs were like a little bit more smart.
But remember, they just said they're still created by people.
I know.
And the people that are still at Ubisoft are the same people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
But then are they just going to like, you know, somehow pervert it and then it'll just be like, you know, oh, here's another thing you got to go fucking collect 800 of for no goddamn reason.
Yeah.
The map's three times as big.
They're getting trained on just Assassin's Creed and they're like, good evening, traveler. I require 7,000 feathers from around the world. Please return to me in 30 minutes. Thank you.
Or I delete your saved game.
And then it's just, that's it. And then you look out at the map, and the map is literally the size, a 1-to-1 scale replica of the United States. And you're like, I can't do this in 30 minutes. And they're like, I didn't stutter. 30 minutes.
Ubisoft. We'll see. Scary. Scary stuff. Number 8. Speaking of messed up companies, Bungie.
Got him.
IGN wrote a lovely article about Bungie's ongoing struggles. Originally, I had no intention of
reading the article,
but I became captivated. So we're gonna do a little recap.
I have a feeling a lot of this is what we know.
Yeah. No, it's kind of like
confirmation bias.
Yes. Yeah. Confirmation bias. That was the term I was.
We do love that.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan.
I'm a big fan. Listen, there's one thing that people say about me. They're like, he's a huge fan of confirmation bias. Yeah, you know Matt? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know. The other day, he's a big fan of confirmation bias.
Hell yeah.
What are two other things about him? Anyway, sorry. I'm about to go into a John Mulaney sketch. Move me on, please.
Marathon is now being directed by Joe Ziegler, Valorant's former game director, replacing veteran Bungie designer Christopher Barrett. The development of Marathon is proceeding alongside work on Destiny 2's Final Shape expansion, but the release of the expansion for the popular game may end up marking another round of layoffs at the studio. A person with knowledge of the studio's budgets told IGN that nothing adds up, and something will have to happen to, quote, curb costs unless the Final Shape does so well to cover the gap and people can move to Marathon, end quote.
It's just so weird. That's such a weird sentence. Yeah. Nothing adds up.
That's a trend. We're going to cover more of that.
Just a bunch of people looking at numbers like, none of this adds up.
What are those things called? The fucking slide scales or whatever? With the
abacus?
Abacus.
Yeah. It's just one guy with an abacus and Bungie.
That's like, Bungie's problem.
Yeah, their entire accounting department is just abacuses and people going, plus three, minus, none of this adds up.
How does this thing work?
It's that scene from Idiocracy where they're all doing the test and looking at each other like, I don't know. Slide four of the blue ones. What does that mean?
Within the company, there is a growing expectation that senior company leadership will leave in droves in the summer of 2026 when the final payouts from Sony's acquisition of the company take effect.
Convenient.
With this in mind, there's a strong push to get Marathon out the door before then and let whoever takes the reins after that, be it Sony or Bungie, worry about how it's sustained.
You know, talk about just dropping a grenade on the way out.
Just dropping a deuce.
Get this out of here. I'm out.
You guys, I'll have to deal with that.
Give me my money. Bitch, but I have my money.
When Sony acquired Bungie, the studio brought with it a number of other incubation projects, including a mobile-like game codenamed Gummy Bears, and a new IP known as Matter.
I'm a gummy bear. Gummy bear.
According to sources, Matter was canceled back in 2020, but the team continued working on a similar project with slightly different direction until that, too, was canceled in late 2022. Gummy Bears, meanwhile, is currently in a holding pattern due to the ongoing company struggles. This is where it gets kind of interesting. Not in the article, but related, a popular Destiny 2 content creator, Aztec Ross, I think that's how you say that, I don't know, shared an anonymous email he recently received that detailed the major internal leadership conflict between Sony and Bungie. This is grain of salt territory, but fun to theorize. Quote, internal perspective at Sony is very negative towards Bungie right now. It is seen as a failed investment, and strategies being discussed revolve around more of recouping losses. One internal leader from US is fighting to take over to right the ship, while many others across the Pacific want a much harsher method. The former US leader holds a lot of respect from overseas leadership, so it is likely she or he will get their way. That person's perspective is that there are many gluttonous executives at Bungie who are not doing their jobs and are hindering the organization. It is believed that the workers are skilled, but the leadership is unable to perform their duties, end quote. The email later continues with, quote, Sony believes that the finances will not allow Bungie to avoid a takeover, even with another round of layoffs, as that would cannibalize development and future revenue. Overall, Sony has been very upset at Bungie leadership. They have not been able to successfully advise Sony teams, and while Lightfall hit internal revenue targets, every target since has been missed at an escalating decline. Bungie leadership regularly reschedules meetings with Sony leadership, knowing that the next time slot can be months away, end quote.
I just like the people across the ocean want this to be done More drastic way.
I'm just picturing like Yakuza, and they're like, you know.
Oh, I'm picturing it, literally the scene from, I don't remember what exact Yakuza game it is, but them sitting in like the Tojo clan headquarters of like.
Just with the knife to cut the pinky off or something?
Or? Yeah, yeah. Just like waiting. Like,
yeah.
You're going to come here and you're going to pay fealty.
Yep.
And then after you take your finger, your own finger, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
It's like,
get the fuck out of my face.
You're a disgrace. Never come back. Number 9. Baldur's Gate 3 swept the Game Awards, Game Developers Choice Awards, taking home Game of the Year in addition to Best Narrative, Best Design, and the Audience Award. There's a rundown, but I'm actually not going to go through it.
All right.
Because we have too much more to do.
Zelda won a couple. That's all I remember.
Interesting, because Zelda got blanked in the Game Awards.
Yeah, that's true. Epic held its annual State of Unreal event at the Game Developers Conference in San Francisco. Here's a recap. On the player side of things, the big attraction of the event was no doubt the first look at the new Marvel game from Skydance New Media and Amy Hennig. 1943, Rise of Hydra. Set in World War II, the narrative-driven action-adventure game stars Captain America and Black Panther. Hennig was on hand to not only introduce the game, but also show off some new Unreal Engine effects featured in the game, like a nanite adaptive tessellation feature. I don't know what the fuck that means. That allows developers to later tile textures and use shader logic to create complex environment effects like footprints or tire tracks in real time with a minimum of geometry. We don't really care about that. Anyways, Epic VP of Engineering, Simone. Oh boy, that's a rough one. Tarango. There's a G there. Tarangao. Look at this guy over here. No one else.
Tarangao, maybe.
VP of Engineering Simon Tarangao laid out a number of new rendering technologies incorporated into Unreal Engine 5.4, including motion matching technology to smooth transitions between character animations. Epic is marking its addition to Unreal Engine by releasing an assortment of 500-plus motion-captured animations compatible with the MetaHuman rig. Free for all Unreal Engine developers.
Big move.
Attendees also received short looks at three games with an emphasis on various Unreal Engine features they were using. Funcom's MMO Dune Awakening, Zynga's 4-on-4 shooter Star Wars Hunters, and Chrono Studios' MMO Chrono Odyssey. Epic Games Store GM Steve Allison gave a short brief on the plans for a mobile launch of the Epic Games Store, saying that the company is targeting iOS and Android launches by the end of the year. In addition to Epic's own games, the mobile store will have a selection of third-party partners who have expressed interest in joining the storefronts at launch. The last segment of the show was focused on new additions to the Unreal Editor for Fortnite. Like a much-requested first-person camera view and the addition of features from the LEGO Fortnite Physics and Destruction Engine into the UEFN. The diversity of UEFN experience may also expand soon as Epic showed off a demo of the Unreal Editor for Fortnite project called Talisman, that used custom assets, a restyled user interface, and metahumans as NPCs to create an experience inspired by 70s sci-fi films with a more realistic aesthetic than Fortnite offers. It's a lot.
It is.
And that last part sounds interesting, though.
The last part definitely does sound interesting. I'm intrigued. Whenever they do more engine things, I just want to see what more people are creating.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious the fact that there are, I don't care about the Dune MMO specifically, but another two MMOs getting mentioned is like,
yeah, was up something.
Speaking of MMOs, do we talk about the fact that Riot fucked up? Yep, we do. Perfect. Also, noting there's an Epic Store thing that was announced during this. That Epic is, I believe, the deal. I'm gonna paraphrase it, but I'm pretty sure I'm pretty close.
Yeah,
Epic. For if you agree to be Epic release on Epic first for the first 6 months, you, the developer, get 100% of the revenue.
Mm-hmm.
So no 70-30 cut. You just get everything.
Yep.
Which I'm pretty fucking good.
Yeah. And they did say that was going to apply to the mobile store as well.
Which I'm pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
Also, did you watch the trailer for 1943 Hydra Rising?
I did not. I had meant
Rise
to...
Rise of Hydra, not Hydra Rising. That's two deaths.
I did not. I had meant to mention it while
it's
we were downstairs.
It's pretty good.
I assume it would be because...
But here's the thing.
Yes.
It's not gameplay.
Yes.
And that's always where I want to see a trailer.
I have... Amy Hedding gets a pass from me as far as any game. Because she hasn't really come out with anything, I think, since...
Which is why she doesn't get a pass from me. Because she's been on multiple projects since the last one.
They all keep getting canceled.
Exactly. So yes. I'm like...
I don't know. She did an Uncharted Among Thieves, so I
wasn't
like,
she the one that got walked out, or am I thinking of the other woman during the Stadia days? Wasn't it her?
I don't know. She was working on that Star Wars game.
Right.
That canceled. Got canceled. I remember that one. There was another studio she was at, I think, as well, that ended up getting canceled as well, and I can't remember.
There's
what that
another
one was.
Very high profile female whose name I'm forgetting right now in Amy Hennig and as like the two.
Yeah.
And they both just keep having things get canceled. Yeah. It's so unfortunate. It's like every time it's like, oh my God, come on. But I'm very curious about how the gameplay is going to be for it.
Mm-hmm.
The trailer itself just like looks good. It looks like, you know, a good,
yeah,
what you'd want out of a good CG game trailer. But I'm like, but what's the gameplay loop?
Yeah.
Trailers at this point don't really do too much for me. Unless it's for an established franchise. Like, if I watch a Battlefield trailer, I watch a Call of Duty trailer, or I watch an MLB The Show trailer, whatever, I know what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
Shooty make shoot, shoot, go bang, bang. Or I throw ball, I hit ball. Like, I know how the gameplay is going to be, but how does it look? And then for these, it's like, okay, that looks cool, but am I going to find out that all of a sudden the gameplay is a top-down twin stick? And I'm like, that doesn't make any sense at all.
I kind of assume it's going to be action-adventure like Uncharted.
I think that too, but there's four characters in like the poster shot of the trailer.
Yeah. And they all have to play differently.
And they all have to intertwine.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
So is it, you know, Uncharted-esque? Maybe is it a little bit more like Spider-Man, where you can kind of like you pivot between them type of thing, like, you know, end a mission and then go into the next one as like meanwhile, you know, over here type of thing, or you end up with like a little bit where you're switching between them in mission if they're together during a mission. There's a lot of questions, but interesting overall.
Mm-hmm.
You know what time it is though.
It might be the rumor roundup.
It might be. The PlayStation VR 2 latest firmware update enables PC access, suggesting the headset will likely work on a PC via a direct connection. A virtual link adapter of some sort will still be required due to how the headset is designed. And if Sony is planning to release official PC drivers, they will also need to provide this adapter to users. Also, nothing in the headset's firmware suggests Sony may employ a streaming solution. But hey, we're making progress.
Mm-hmm.
Sony is said to have launched an internal investigation into the leaked documents about the rumored PS5 Pro model. They coming for you.
They're gonna get you.
A Kotaku report suggests that Blizzard will not be releasing any more PvE missions for Overwatch 2. And all Overwatch 2 characters are back to being free.
Yes, I did not add that in.
I was just doing a quick scroll to double check. A new Xbox dev kit console was certified today in South Korea, and the model number reveals it is not a development kit for a known console.
The Microsoft boys are up to something.
Assassin's Creed Jade's release has reportedly been delayed from this year into 2025, and I, for one, say thank you. You're still going to release Infinity this year. What the fuck do I care?
Yeah.
All right. You tell me when you want to stop, and I'll take over if you want.
Oh, my God. I didn't realize
you
how
put
many
27 put in here.
Okay. I'll make it to what's halfway? 14, 13?
One of the two of those.
Okay. I'll go 14. All right. Now for questionable things we didn't write full paragraphs on, but are definitely longer than a sentence. Blizzard has announced...
What a fucking topic title.
Blizzard has announced World of Warcraft Plunderstorm, a new pirate-themed 60-player Battle Royale limited-time activity.
I won a game.
Did you?
Yeah, Buck and I did. We were duoing.
My God, you fucking cuties over here with your World of Warcraft skills.
I know. I also died to a PvP streamer. I ran into a few streamers.
That's fair. I mean, if you're dying to a PvP streamer, I feel that that's fair.
We were running around and fighting and whatever, and then we look over in the distance, and we're like, wait a second, is that Peekaboo? He's like, it is Peekaboo. And then we're running around later, and we like avoided them to go do some other stuff because they were in the middle of a fight, and we're like, yeah, we need to go get more power. And we we run around, and then we end up getting into like a four-team fight and then die to Peekaboo and Absurge, and it was like, all right, they're fucking world champions in PvP. I'm okay with it.
So what's the verdict?
I'm enjoying it.
All right.
For what it is, it's just a complete offshoot. Like, I am a little disappointed that this was the flag on the map and labeled as 10.2.6.
Uh-huh.
When this should have just not had a patch. I think a lot of people's hang up is that it doesn't need a patch number attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
They could have just had a flag be a thing and like just done this whenever. But I am happy it's out. Like I enjoy it. It's fun.
Yeah.
Because it's when you launch, right? You launch WoW. It's not WoW.
Okay.
So you launch WoW, right? You see your characters. Then you click Plunderstorm. And you are now you pick whatever character and you're that. You unlock cosmetics for your main account, but you are not any of your characters. You are
okay, I get what you're saying.
You are just this rank one constant.
Yeah, you know, like a things. Pirate yeah. of some kind.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody just gets put to base pirate levels.
Hmm.
And then you do it that way.
That's neat. Neat little mini game.
But some people are like, oh, I'm not my own character. And I'm just like, shut the fuck up,
bro.
Dude, I have lost so many brain cells reading Twitter this week. So fucking many. And it's all from WoW Twitter, and I want to just blow my brains out when I read some of them.
WoW's fan base is so,
it's
like,
fucking unbelievable. Like,
they can't just enjoy things. They're very much like, it's got to be polarizing.
I came so close. And I mean, like, seconds away from just uninstalling Twitter and being like, I don't need this social media anymore. Done.
Yeah.
I'll figure it out. Like, Reddit is now half of what I used to use it for.
Yep.
I deactivated my Facebook years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Twitter's about to die for me. And then I'm just gonna have Reddit again? Like,
I think we're due for a new social media.
Like, I have Blue Sky.
Okay, but it hasn't really taken off, right?
I reserved my account, but I really don't think it has. And if it did, it's not...
It's just Twitter again. It's not like...
It's Twitter again, but it's not like I can... If not everybody that I follow goes, then I also have to pay attention to when they potentially show up, which means I have to constantly keep searching for them to show up if I'm not on Twitter to watch them go.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's just like a really weird scenario, and then I'm just like, okay, do I just continue to disconnect and just fade away? There's part of me that goes, there's some beauty in that.
Yeah, it's annoying because I...
But then there's a full disconnect.
Yeah. Then you are genuinely disconnected. You don't know what the fuck's going on.
Right.
Which is...
A blessing and a curse.
Yeah. That's kind of where I'm at. I'm like, I'd like to know what's going on, but I don't... But I'm not satisfied by all the bullshit.
It's literally, I was reading through Twitter, I was like, oh man, this is all pretty cool. I didn't ask for your opinion. I just started just, nope. Mm-hmm. I was like, fucking infuriating.
I just want forums to come back and be a thing.
Oh God. See, I think that, and then I go read like the Blizzard forums for like when mm-hmm. WoW has its forums still. And I'm like, absolutely not.
Yeah. I guess it's just nostalgia for a simple time.
For sure. there's something about message boards that are
yeah
nostalgic. I want Quora questions to come back. You know what I mean? Like yeah, Yahoo Quora answers.
All right. Riot has said that their League of Legends MMO is still in development, but has been rebooted. Dun, dun, dun.
Cool. So you know what that means? You're not seeing it for another 8 years.
Yeah. Remedy said that Alan Wake
2...
What
a waste.
Yeah,
What a fucking waste.
It is. There's been a lot of reboots lately.
Yeah, and for that's already been probably 8 years, like... Why you even keep going?
Yeah, at this point, it's going to go into... I was going to say it's just going to be Titan.
It might become Titan, but Titan technically turned into Overwatch, so...
I think
this actually fades into nothingness.
Yeah.
This has the looming problem of Titan, where it was like...
That's what I mean,
Titan,
like...
Titan, 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 and you just never saw it.
It's going to be that problem of, like, it doesn't ever materialize, and if you do see it, it's been morphed into
something
shell else. Of yeah. itself.
Yep.
Remedy said that Alan Wake 2 has recouped most of the investment, and the studio is planning more regular sequels for Alan Wake and Control.
Do you have the other news in here?
Is it Max Payne?
Yes.
Yes. Capcom has provided a Dragon's Dogma 2 release launch update following community backlash over the game's paid DLC, subpar performance, and more. Sony has established an assembly line to produce physical PlayStation 5 discs for Latin America. The Brazilian facility previously produced game discs for previous generations of PlayStation consoles. The upcoming Star Wars Outlaws from Massive Entertainment has been rated in Korea. The Korean rating board has just rated the upcoming Star Wars title with a 19+ rating. And this is likely due to the game including a poker-like minigame as seen in the game's first trailer.
Interesting.
Sensor Tower has acquired mobile marketing firm Data AI for an undisclosed sum. And then they laid off 200 staff.
Well... That's not good.
Roller Dome has hit 1 million players after almost 2 years after launch.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. It's no Monopoly Go, but...
True.
Kotaku editor-in-chief Jen Glennon has exited her role, reportedly due to a new editorial direction. Per Glennon's letter of resignation, the parent company GO Media mandated that the game's publication focus on game guides and deprioritize news. According to a source familiar with the matter, Kotaku staffers are expected to create 50 guides in total a week. So I think it's safe to say Kotaku is...
That's a lot of guides.
...is dead.
R.I.P.
A movie adaptation of The Sims is underway with Margot Robbie's production company Lucky Chap set to produce.
I don't really know how that's going to work.
I don't know either.
There's green pendulum.
Speaking of things that I don't know how they're going to work, LinkedIn is currently developing in-app games for its social media platform.
Please no, I'm not. No, stop.
3 puzzle games.
Just stop.
Remedy has published its financial results in 2023 and reported a 22.2% decrease in revenue. Remedy attributed the decline in revenue and profit to increased investments in ongoing projects currently in development. Speaking of, Remedy expects Max Payne 1 and 2 Remake to be a major release with great potential, enabled by a similar development budget as Alan Wake 2.
That's pretty good news.
That is good news. I like Max Payne. A new VR publisher and developer, VRAL Games, has launched at GDC this week. The Miami-based company announced its publishing of its first title, a VR motorcycle multiplayer titled V-Rider, developed by Italian indie studio Funny Tales Gaming.
Number 15, a modder has claimed that Aspyr used their work in Star Wars Battlefront Classic Collection without credit. The mod was developed to bring Xbox-exclusive DLC content of characters Kit Fisto and Asajj Ventress to PC in 2021 by reskinning other characters. Lies of P has hit 7 million players.
I think this is the second time that Aspyr has run into this problem.
Yeah, Aspyr is kind of fucking up.
There.
Thunderful Group speed. You want to know who's not fucking up?
Thunderful Group?
Asmodee. That Star Wars Unlimited was so massive.
Yeah, they. I saw.
They're like fucked up.
In like yeah, a good they way. They like ran out of. Although I did see a lot of people shit talking it. A lot of like the really hardcore card people, because they were like, "Oh, the quality is not as good as other oh, games."
Sure, yeah. And then fuck them.
They were saying they were comparing.
Makes me
want to
double down.
They were comparing it to the Disney game that I didn't even know existed.
Lorcana?
Yeah.
Fuck off, nerds.
Yeah. Apparently, it's really popular. I don't fucking know.
It's stupid popular.
Not my.
It's so popular. Like boosters were selling for like $300. Like I'm talking. That was
so a lot of people. I don't know how I stumbled into this conversation. I can't remember if it was on Twitter or Reddit or whatever.
Well, you played the game, so
I know.
Now it's there.
Yeah, like the my phone was like feed it to him.
feed him.
They were theorizing that it was so popular the Star Wars one because of the price. And
yeah,
that.
It's I paid $30 for what we did.
Yeah. Which is kind of insane. I didn't realize I have no frame of reference. I don't
that
I
was
don't,
cheaper than that Fallout deck.
Yeah. So like I have no frame of reference. So then when I started seeing the fucking what's it called? Lorcana. I started seeing the Lorcana prices and I was like,
yep.
What the who is paying for this shit?
The full I mean, this is the easy, like, think the full booster box, right? Like,
yeah.
The Check Lanes booster box that you would grab, like, packs out of.
Mm-hmm.
Buying one of those, if I wanted to, for Star Wars, is, like, $100.
Yeah.
Buying that same thing for Lorcana is three bills easy, if not more.
Oh, my God. That's insane.
And that's the whole joke also with competitive Pokemon, by the way.
We have competitive... to buy your way to winning?
No.
Oh.
People look at like Pokemon and then you look at like Magic and you look at Yu-Gi-Oh, right? As your three like staples.
Yeah.
And then you have the Dragon Ball game, now you have Star Wars, you have Lorcana, you have all these other, you know, you have Flesh and Blood, there's all these other ones, right?
Yeah.
Magic decks famously can get pretty expensive. People have won worlds of Pokemon with like a $20 deck.
Mm.
Like that's how much it costs to buy even the most expensive card in that deck was like $8.
Okay.
And they're like, quit, like, so what, some of the stuff that people like champion Pokemon for is like, quit spending stupid amount of money. Our barrier to entry is so low. Mm-hmm. The literal world champion's deck was less than $50.
Yeah, so it's really accessible.
If you really wanted to recreate it, just go buy it all off of eBay and be done with it.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, you can't do that because one of the lands in Magic is $400. And you're like, well, all right, never mind.
That's so insane.
There's something to be said about games that are stupid accessible, and actually, as long as they also are good, then
yeah,
they will be popular. Anyway, Thunderful Group has secured an extension of its long-running partnership with Nintendo, in which it handles the distribution for all of the platform holders' products in the Nordic and Baltic regions. Thunderful Group, Nordic and Baltic regions? I see yeah. a little play there. Balatro has sold 1 million units within a month of launching. It's a great game. You should play it. Number 19, HTC has announced a change in its revenue share for developers on its XR gaming and app storefront Vive port. From April 1st, developers of new titles will keep 90% of all one-time purchase revenue for both PC VR and Vive XR Elite titles as well as apps. Sony Interactive Entertainment has reportedly halted production of its PSVR 2 to clear its current backlog of unsold devices. Bloomberg sources familiar with the matter say that Sony has manufactured more than 2 million PSVR 2 units.
Damn.
A new AAA studio has launched, composed of industry veterans from EA, Sony, Blizzard, Disney, Apple, and Google. Founded in October 2023, Muddy Robot Games is led by former International Game Developers Association president Chris Hood. A new study has shown that more than half of
Okay.
A new study has shown that more than half of U.S. consumers who play video games believe the industry needs to do more to combat harassment in multiplayer titles. Number 23, Grinding Gear Games announced that the Path of Exile 2 beta test that was previously slated for June has been delayed until late 2024. At a GDC panel, Larian CEO Sven Vinke made the surprising announcement that the company is moving on from Baldur's Gate, Dungeons & Dragons, and the Forgotten Realms setting. They aren't making Baldur's Gate 4, and there won't be any major DLC for Baldur's Gate 3.
Bold move, I like it.
they wanted to apparently get away from like Hasbro and all the random like bad stuff. They're like, we're just breaking ties. And I think the rest of the quote was like, the team doesn't feel into it anymore and they're just going to do something of their own.
Yeah, which is fair. You should
do
what you want and it will be good.
Number 25, NVIDIA CEO Jensen Huang believes we're just 10 years away from everything we talked about earlier. Number 26, cut my entire self off. Respawn's Apex Legends has suffered a significant remote code execution exploit that was used maliciously to inject cheats in the machines of streamers who are participating in the Apex Legends Global Series tournament. Following these exploits, Respawn announced a delay for the North American finals of its Global Series tournament. Way to go, Source Engine. Number 27, the Callisto Protocol developer Striking Distance Studios has revealed a spin-off game tentatively titled Project Birdseye. Project Birdseye is an action roguelike game set in the same universe as the 2022 survival horror game, which Striking Distance says is being worked on by a small team alongside its next full-scale game. I'm Ron Burgundy saying, go fuck yourself, San Diego.
Oh!
If you put me in a room and just said, read these headlines, I would do the every like 10 minutes of news radio bits all day.
Yeah. That's fair.
On the I-81 right now, there is a...
There's a loose chicken.
There is one horse-sized chicken.
Jesus, that's frightening.
Holy terrorizing God. Downtown metropolis. And I need more pictures of Spider-Man. Anyway, I'm mixing so many different universes. Anyway, yeah, 7 days up to a whole lot of nothing really for me. Been the usual. Played a little bit of Plunderstorm. Talked about that already. Played a little bit of the show. Talked about that. Played a little bit of WoW. Talked about that. Played a little bit of Balatro. Talked about that. Slept a lot.
Nice.
Kind of. I slept early in the week, right? Like, so Monday night.
It's something in the air.
Well, so Monday night, I was just exhausted.
Everyone's exhausted. I'm exhausted. Every single person I've run into has been basically like, dude, I'm fucking exhausted.
So Monday night, exhausted, right?
Yeah.
Went to bed about like 8:30, which is not normal for me. I'm normally a 10 o'clock guy.
Yeah.
Passed out, slept all night. Mm-hmm. Woke up, went to work. Came home, went to volleyball. Slept, work, volleyball, work, whatever. Yeah, right? Last night, went to go to bed, like 10 o'clock. Finally fall asleep. Wake up like an hour later. Like, no, don't do this to me. Hit the bathroom, whatever, you know, kind of like, all right, commit. Commit to sleep. Come on. Back to bed. Fall asleep, wake up, 4 o'clock. Like, don't. And I'm like, I'm starting to reach that awakeness where I'm like, I'm almost wide awake.
Yeah.
And I really don't want to be awake at 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
Because if I get full wide awake at 4 o'clock, noon's gonna suck. So I'm like, all right, go back. 20 minutes, wake up, 15 minutes, wake up, 5 minutes, wake up. And I'm just tossing and turning. Finally woke up to actually like get up and leave. And I can feel myself like starting to potentially sweat. I'm like, what is going on? I can feel like that. I'm like, I'm too warm. What is happening? I got a fan on. It's fucking 17 outside.
Oh, just pockets are too full, so I'm getting jabbed in weird ways.
Ladies. Anyway, what have you been up to?
Similar, but different, you know, also exhausted. But I have, like, insomnia issues, so, like, I'll be dead tired all day to the point of where like I could like I've been like micro napping. Like I might fall asleep for like 30 seconds at my desk and then continue on with my day. And then like I'll get home and I'll be exhausted up until about 8-9 o'clock and then I'm like
I've 100% been there.
Until like 11-12 o'clock.
I mean I've done the mistake, come home 6 o'clock, accidentally nap for an hour and a half, and then I'm fucked. But I've also done the spend my lunch at work taking a nap.
Yeah.
Done that one. Also done the little bit of like, you know, not micro napping or whatever, but just like the, I just feel your head dip. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, nope, can't have that happen.
Yeah.
But I've also had the worry of like in that waking up of like, oh, it's 11 o'clock and I was only asleep for an hour.
Yeah.
If I do not immediately continue to go try to go back to bed, like if I'm like, oh, I'll read a book or whatever, I'm going to read for 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Like I need to just hit myself with a hammer. Like I need to go to bed.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really about it. I mean, there hasn't been anything exciting going on. I just doing my normal, you know, watching anime, watching shows when I can. Haven't really been reading anything. I listened to the latest Dan Carlin podcast, which was basically about the Holocaust. That's it. Nothing really exciting.
Word. All right. Well, that being said, we'll see you guys in 7 days. Until then, toodaloo. Bye-bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.